Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to have you with us. All of those that are on YouTube, I think we're only on YouTube now, so it's good to have each one of you with us. And if you haven't noticed this morning, the theme for this morning is Jesus. Mainstream, that's it, right, is Jesus Christ and what he means to each one of us. And so I thought I'd start out just to tell you, sometimes you wonder why Marcia and I are not sitting back there. Well, last week we weren't sitting back there, and that's because we took the opportunity to go to Pittsburgh and visit with Jim and Joan Coons, who many of you would recognize as being here, right? They're doing well. So I think you know Joan had a bit of a struggle with cancer. She is now cancer-free. And so that doesn't mean that she doesn't have some other issues. She was getting an infusion of magnesium, I think, this week. They don't know why her body uses up magnesium, but it does. So she went to get a shot. And, of course, you need magnesium to keep your heart beating. It's an electrolyte that kind of helps you in your nervous system. But we had a great time. It was a good time of enjoying being together, fellowshipping together. We went to church with them at a Christian Missionary Alliance Church, which was the first time I've ever worshipped in a Christian Missionary Alliance Church. It was a great service. So we just really enjoyed the opportunity of going there. And the Lord was with us, both going up, coming back. No accidents, no close calls. I'm looking at my wife to see if she thinks we had a close call. No, but the Lord really took care of us, and it was a really good trip. But this morning, I'd like to start off with a question for each one of you, and it's a really important question, and that question is, who is Jesus to you? Not to me, to you. Who is Jesus to you? And so I wanted to start by paraphrasing, because I thought it was a little bit long to read you all the scripture about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And if you remember that story, right, Jesus was on his way to Galilee, and he stopped at the Jacob's well to rest, and he sent his disciples on into town to buy some food. And while he was sitting there, this woman comes out, and he asks her for a drink. And, of course, the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. And I think hate is the right word. Seems kind of strong, but nonetheless, I think it is the right word. And so Jesus was really out of line asking this Samaritan woman for a drink. And and she asked him, you know, why are you asking me that? And Jesus told her, well, you know, if you knew who you were talking to, then you would realize that I can give you a drink of living water. And then he proceeded to tell her about her past, and in particular, her five husbands. And she said, well, I know that the Messiah is coming, and he's going to tell us all things. So in this face-to-face encounter, Jesus actually revealed himself to her, and he said, I who speak to you am he. So let's continue and pick up the rest of that story, at least the most of the rest of the story. If you have your Bible, we're going to go to John, the fourth chapter, and verses 39 through 42. And there are two words that I want you to really underline, make bold, stick in your brain. Whatever comes easy for you, because they really are the theme behind this morning's message. John 4:39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. That's one of the words. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word.
They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know," and the "know" is the important word there, "that he is indeed" what? "The Savior of the world." You know, there are lots of history books, as well as the Bible, that record the fact that Jesus walked on the face of this earth. So what we believe about this man named Jesus, and why we believe it, and what we do as a result of that, is a big difference in determining what our eternal destination will be. You know, it seems like a lot of people have some confusion about who Jesus is. Some confess that he existed in times past and was a great prophet. Others, a man of peace. Others have said, well, he's a great teacher. Others, well, he's a high priest. And still others say that he was the reincarnation of one of the Old Testament prophets. So let's look at Matthew 16:13. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?'" Who is Jesus to you? Is another way of asking that question. And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So each one of us need to ask ourselves exactly that same question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you? And there are, you know, there are millions of people in the world today that have never heard of Jesus or what he's done or who he is, right? And each one of them have an emptiness within them, a hunger. They're really searching for truth in their life. And some call God, or in their search for truth, call him the higher power. I have to admit, my eldest son says the man upstairs. Some would say it's a supreme intelligence or a cosmic force. Mankind comes up with all kinds of names for God. And so, you know, why do people do that? Well, I think part of it is out of ignorance. Part of it is that they don't want to believe in God. And they don't want to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. It is against their nature. They just feel like they can't make that step. But, and you know what comes after "but," right? I want you to know that none of those names, not the man upstairs, not the cosmic force, right? Not the supreme intelligence that died on the cross for me. I'm sorry, none of those did. Right? My God is not the man upstairs because he's more than a man. My God is far more than supreme intelligence because he is all intelligence, all knowledge, all understanding. My God is far greater than a cosmic force because my God is God. He is Jesus, and he is my Lord and Savior. Jesus died for you. He died for me. And there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. It is who Jesus is to you and to me, and what he is to each one of us that really matters in the end. So let's go back to the story of the Samaritan woman. I think this is kind of interesting. It's a little bit of a history lesson. You know, the name Samaritans was given to a group of mixed people. The king of Assyria brought, I'm going to use a technical term, a whole bunch of people from Babylon into the area of Samaria. And when the Jews were taken into captivity into Babylon, right? Not all of them went. There were a few that remained. And so in Samaria, there were Jews, and then the king of Assyria brought in a whole group of people from Babylon as well. And so these strangers, mostly pagans, or all pagans, I guess, intermarried with the Jews, and gradually they abandoned their idolatry and at least took on part of the Jewish religion. And then, of course, the Jews returned from Babylonian captivity. And after that return, the Jews in Jerusalem rebuilt the temple. But they said that those Samaritans could not participate in building the temple. And as a result of that, this hatred grew up between the Samaritans and the Jewish people, and to the point that the Samaritans actually built their own temple, and that one was built at Mount Gerizim. But the Jews destroyed that temple in 130 BC, so the Samaritans decided, well, I can handle that. I'm going to build another one, and they built another temple in Shechem. And this bitter hatred that existed between the Samaritans and the Jews is present at the time of Christ as well. Is that really different than today? It's not really uncommon in our day, right, to see this kind of prejudice between peoples. Part of it is racial differences. Part of it is our ethics background, where we came from, how we were brought up. And even sometimes it's our financial status. And those things get in the way and they drive a deep wedge between us. And it makes it difficult for us to really understand what Jesus does for us in our life. You see, because Jesus was not a respecter of persons. Here he is sitting at the well, right, in Samaria, and he speaks to a Samaritan woman because he knew that that woman needed a Savior. Just like every man, woman, and child needs a Savior today. He didn't much care about what the others thought, and he didn't much care about what they said about him either, right? He was there to carry out the mission that his Father in heaven had given him, and that is to bring others into the kingdom of God and to be a part of God's kingdom. And you know, we need to be really thankful as Gentiles, right, that Jesus came to save the world, right, and not just the Jews. Because if he only came for the Jews, that means you and I as Gentiles, we're just like that Samaritan woman on the outside. No room for us. But God opened the door for all of us to really enter into his kingdom and to be a part of his kingdom. So what did the woman do after Jesus spoke to her? Well, it says that she ran to the city with the good news. Do you think she cared who she spoke to along the way or when she got to the city? Do you think she sought out only certain people? I happen to think she was kind of excited about the fact that she had met face to face, right, with the Son of God, and that he had offered her the gift of salvation. She was excited about that, and she was going to tell anybody that came into her presence about what had just happened to her. There was a change in her life. Her life was different now because she had met the Messiah, the Christ. So she experienced in this one-on-one with Jesus at the well, and her life was forever changed. She was a different person. So each one of us needs that same encounter with Jesus. an encounter that has changed our life, right, and an encounter that's cleansed our heart. And the song that we sang was Show Me, which is the part of the encounter that changed my life. Jesus, show me. And the other part of that song was Fill Me With Your Heart. And that is Jesus cleansing our heart that we might be in tune with him. So when that question that Jesus really posed to a disciple in Matthew 16, it says that Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father. And you realize that when Jesus spoke to the woman, the same thing happened there, that God the Father, right, opened the door in that woman's life that she could recognize who Jesus was to her. Who is Jesus to her? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? And so she ran off, right, to tell other people about it. And that, you know, we need to do exactly the same thing. But it's hard to tell others about Jesus, about the Christ, the Son of God, unless we've been changed by his power. You know, I know I've shared this with you before, but Marcia and I used to go in lay witness missions with Ben Robbins, and Ben would tell you that the most powerful tool you have when you speak to others is your own personal testimony. And that you can use that testimony, just like the woman, right? When she went back into the city, right, she used her own personal testimony to tell others. And what did that do? It says the people of the city came out, right? They wanted to experience that same change in their life that she had experienced. And so through her testimony, a lot of other people were saved as well. It says that many came to believe because of her testimony. Well, how about your and my testimony, right? We have the same thing. We have that same power within us because as we have encountered Christ in our life, right, it's changed our life, right, and he's cleansed our heart as a result of it. So she had the knowledge of Jesus in her heart, not just in her head. And so that, I think, is important. I think a long time ago, actually it doesn't seem that long ago, but it was a long time ago, I talked about the fact that this 18 inches from here to here, from your head to your heart, might be the longest distance that you've ever experienced, because sometimes it takes a long time to get head knowledge into heart knowledge, that you really understand who Jesus is to you. So if we really want to witness like that woman at the well witnessed, we must walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You know, people can see through our facade of Christianity, and if you wanted to look at that, you can look at Numbers 32:23, and it says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So I'm going to ask you, you know, what kind of an answer would you give if we're not truthfully following God and Jesus Christ? When the tough questions come up, like, how would you answer when a person we're trying to witness to sees us use the Lord's name in vain? And you may not experience that with any of you, but I can tell you in the business world, I have been with lots of people that would say that they're a Christian, but they use the Lord's name more frequently almost than any other word in their vocabulary. Well, I think that really brings into question, have you really encountered Jesus? Have you really had a one-on-one encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? What would your answer be if those who are you are trying to get to come to church and they see you miss church for any reason at all, that it's not a priority in your life to come to church? What would you tell them? because that's an important part of our life. You know, the scripture says that we should come together to worship and to praise the Lord. And that's what we're here for this morning, is to worship and to praise the Lord and to gain a deeper understanding of His Word in our life. And that's an important part of it. What would you answer if you try to teach your children the Word of God is so very important, but they never see you read it? What are you going to tell them? Well, I could say to my oldest son, hey, Rob, here's the Bible. You need to read it. And if he's never seen me pick it up and read it, how do you think he'll look at what I'm trying to tell him? He's probably not going to be too enthusiastic about it, right? And, you know, there are things that some people think, well, these are just little sins. They're not big sins. Well, I don't think, my personal feeling is sin is sin, and you can't grade them as whether they're big or little. And so how would you answer someone when they catch you committing these little sins? How would you answer them? And then what would your answer be when you see people living together outside of marriage in an adulterous relationship and they come to church and they never hear the truth? What do you tell them? How can they ever repent and make things right if they're never told that sin exists and that God does not look on sin favorably? You know, I think if you look around in a lot of places, holiness, the line between holiness and worldliness is really gray today. That, in fact, I think some people would think the line doesn't exist at all. You know, when people come to church and they never hear sin called sin, how can they ever come to repent? We must, first of all, hear the truth. We've got to preach the truth. We got to know the truth. But most of all, we have to live the truth before we can really be effective for the cause of Christ. You know, let's think about, so what causes you to believe things are true? Let me give you an example. Do you believe that the Eiffel Tower exists in Paris, France? How do you know that? Well, so some of us may have been there. Marcia and I have, right? And Don has, right? But a lot of you haven't. So, but do you think the fact that the Eiffel Tower in Paris, do you believe it's there? And so the question is, well, what proof do you have? Have you ever touched it? Have you ever seen it with your own eyes? Have you ever been at the top of that tower? Well, how about another question? Do you believe the earth is round?
Yes.
How do you know? You've been around it all the way? You could be kind of like Columbus, right? Because they told him, once you hit the horizon, off you go. There's no coming back. Columbus had to be a big risk taker because that was the thought at the time, right? That all you had to do was go beyond the horizon and you fell off the edge of the earth. So, although a lot of us have never actually gone all the way around, right? We still think that the earth is round. Why? Because somebody told us so, right? And we have probably seen pictures, but the fact of the matter is, I'm sure there are some folks that think that the earth is round is a hoax. Well, I can tell you personally that it's not a hoax. It really is round. But if you have the same train of thought, How can you tell others about Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Is he the Jesus that you heard from the preacher? Or is he the Jesus that you've read about? Or is he the Jesus that you have heard some great stories about? Or is he the Jesus you have seen pictures of hanging on the wall? Is that who Jesus is to you? Or do you have the same experience with Jesus as the woman at the well? You know, if you've had that kind of an experience, then your witness is just as effective as her witness would be. You see, the people of the city where she lived responded with belief at the words that she spoke concerning Jesus, it says, because of her testimony, okay? And many of them came out to meet Jesus for themselves, and each one of them had their own personal encounter with Jesus. And the Father in heaven revealed to each one of them who Jesus really was. And so in their heart, and it says, right, in their heart, they knew. It says, now we believe not because of what you said, but because we heard the words of Jesus. So they had this encounter with Jesus and the recognition that he was indeed the Son of God. He was not just another man. He was not just a prophet. He was not just a teacher. He was literally the Son of God. And it changed their lives forever. It changed their lives. So this morning, I really don't want you to know Jesus from the words that Don tells you, or that Michael tells you, or that Jordan tells you, or that I tell you. And I don't want you to know Jesus just from the testimonies of other people around you. I don't want that, right? And I don't want you to know Jesus based upon secondhand knowledge. I want you to know Jesus as your personal Savior, as an intimate friend. And I know we talk about the intimacy with God, but that is intimacy that you can have. Jesus wants to be in you, around you, surround you, hold you, carry you, because that's who Jesus is. He is not some remote thing that somebody has talked to you about. He is real, and he wants to commune with you. So you and I both have the opportunity of encountering the Son of God and the Holy Spirit entering into our heart. And Jesus has really become, or can become, a part of your life, so that Jesus is the center of your life. For everything you do, everything you say, wherever you go, Jesus can be the center of your life and guide and direct you on every step. So, as I end this message up, my question is, do you know that Jesus is the Savior of the world? Or is he your Savior? Because we can understand, right, or be told that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Scripture says that, right? But that's a big global thing. It's not personal. So the question is he your Savior? Not just the Savior of the world, but your Savior. Do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? Or is he your God? Again, making it personal. Do you know Jesus because others have revealed him to you? Or do you know because the Father in heaven has revealed him to you? What's your basis for knowing who Jesus is? So, just who is Jesus to you? You know, only you and God can answer that question. But my prayer this morning is that you know him in a very personal and intimate way, because he is your Lord and Savior. He's my Lord and Savior. We're not competing with each other. There's enough of Jesus to go around to everybody, right? But the reality is, Jesus needs to be personal to us. He needs to be our intimate friend. And we can welcome him into our lives, where he will commune with us, be a part of our life, give us guidance and direction, give us peace, all the fruits of the Spirit, right? It's when Jesus is a part of our life. And that's what he wants from us. And that's how, when that happens in our lives, that's how we can become the witness to other people. And that our testimony then is just as powerful as that woman at the well who went back into the city, and through her testimony, right, they all came out to meet this man. Right? That is what God, it's what Jesus calls us to do, to share the gospel, to let people know that our God is a personal God. Yes, God is God of the universe, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But he's also a very personal God that wants to walk with each and every one of us. So, Father, this morning, we just thank you that we can come together. Lord, that we can worship you, because there's no other name under heaven that can save us other than Jesus. And so, Father, we just thank you for that gift of salvation that you brought to each and every one of us. And Lord, may that gift be personal to each and every one of us, that we know who Jesus is to me, that you know who Jesus is to you as your personal Lord and Savior. And so, Father, not only today, but throughout the coming days, Lord, I just ask that you would reveal more and more of yourself to each and every one of us. And Lord, if this is the first time that we really begin to understand who Jesus is, Lord, I just ask that you would reveal yourself to that person, or to those persons that are here or on YouTube. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them as you revealed yourself to the woman at the well in Samaria. May they experience your presence, a change in their life, a cleansing in their heart, and a desire, Lord, that you would walk with them every day of their life. And Father, I do pray that each one of us not only talk the talk, but walk the walk as well, that we might be witnesses for you in the building of your kingdom. And Father, this morning I thank you for your presence here. And I just ask, Lord, that you would touch each one with the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would grow closer to you, and that we might experience a fresh anointing from you and a fresh encounter with you as we experience your love in our life. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.